Good evening and welcome to the 7 p.m. news with me, Elizabeth Mbombone Agbo. In our headlines, Cameroon and Equatorial Guinea hold talks on the demarcation of their boundaries. An ad hoc committee is slated for the Equatorial Guinean city of La Paz. The alarm bell goes ringing following the launch of 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. Our in-depth segment of the news centers on the elimination of violence against women. Out of the country, 17 people are reported missing after a boat transporting 31 tourists and 14 crew sank in the Red Sea. And onto sports, all is apparently set ahead of the second edition of the Chantabia National Mountain Bike Race to kick off on November 29 in Bagofit, East Region of Cameroon. Those were our lead stories, and now the news in greater detail. The President of the Republic today signed a couple of decrees appointing some senior officials in some hospitals in Yaoundé, the Ministry of Youth Affairs and Civic Education, as well as in some state universities. Following the decrees, Mr. Njeche Vincent de Paul has been appointed Director General of the Yaoundé University Teaching Hospital, while Mr. Che Kingsley Saw was appointed Director General of the Gynecological Obstetric and Pediatric Hospital. Mr. Isumba Emmanuel was appointed Director General of the Yaoundé General Hospital. On his part, Mr. Akede Metuge Eric was appointed Inspector General of Services in the Ministry of Youth Affairs and Civic Education. As you heard in one of our lead stories, Cameroon and Equatorial Guinea have embarked on the clear demarcation of their boundaries. At the behest of President Paul Biya, the Minister of Territorial Administration, Paul Atanganji, is leading the delegation from Cameroon in an ad hoc committee meeting in the Equatorial Guinean city of La Paz. Cameroonians in Equatorial Guinea used the walking session to express their expectations captured in this report by our special envoy, Albert Njembonde.
A huge and vociferous bunch of Cameroonians residing in the Djiblo province massed to welcome their compatriots and re-echo their expectations as experts of the two countries meet.
My name is Hector Kamdem. Cameroonians say to have difficulties with obtaining the residence permit, which means once you get a stamp on crossing the border, it's valid for 3 months. After every 3 months, you need to go back to get that stamp again in your passport. So if you do not work maybe in a big company that can process your residency for you, then you have that problem. Every 3 months, you need to be going back to the border to get that stamp.
The Cameroon Equatorial Guinea Border Ad Hoc Committee meeting is the first of its kind since the last took place 40 years ago in the town of Ambam, south of Cameroon. Since then, the two countries have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly along their common border, misunderstandings which the two delegations are hoping to put on the table and chart a way forward. Territorial Administration Minister Paul Atanganji has had a feel of the expectations of the Cameroonians here.
Dogo Alfred Ndu, I've been here for 7 years. We are living peacefully. We think like the borders, at times for us to go out is so difficult. At times you will reach, it's locked totally. For months, you can't circulate. So it's difficult. Most of our brothers, sisters, they even find their ways going through the bushes, which is so risky.
The head of state's envoy has reassured them of the determination of Presidents Paul Biya and Teodoro Obiangbemba Mbazogo to solve the issues at stake and strengthen the historical and socio-cultural and geographical bond existing between Cameroon and Equatorial Guinea. Albert Njembonde, Yannick Ayagma, on special assignment, La Paz.
Members of the audit bench of the Supreme Court and those of the Finance and Budget Committee of the National Assembly have decried the timid implementation of their recommendations by those in charge of managing public finances. This was during the 30th Exchange Forum today at the Yaoundé Conference Center. Discussions held under the auspices of the chairperson of the Finance and Budget Committee of the National Assembly, Honorable Motsimbo Rosette Ayayi, and the President of the audit bench of the Supreme Court, Superscale Legal and Judicial Officer Yap Abdu, Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Doris Batetato Ekwe reports.
The audits conducted by the audit bench aim to issue recommendations in addition to imposing sanctions on individuals involved in the budgetary chain, such as authorizing officers, credit managers, accountants, and finance controllers. These recommendations aim to propose corrective measures for the weaknesses identified during audits and to highlight opportunities for improvement. Members of the audit bench of the Supreme Court and those of the Finance and Budget Committee of the National Assembly assessed the impact of such recommendations on governance in Cameroon. Honorable Fonge Julius is member of the Finance and Budget Committee.
We can't say 100% that we are satisfied.
His view is shared by Justice Justine Fofunwaka of the audit bench of the Supreme Court.
We have made so many recommendations since we started, but unfortunately, very few have been implemented.
Through their institutionalized collaboration, they hope things will get better.
We believe that with the amelioration of situation, with the improvement of the working conditions, and with the adoption of laws, some of the flaws which today the audit bench is facing are taken into consideration. In the future, we will be apt to implement the recommendations made by the audit bench.
We need parliament because they are the voice of the people. If the two houses speak in one voice and our recommendations are read out and publicized with the media and even the civil society, we think that those recommendations will be implemented.
If taken into account, recommendations made thanks to parliamentary and judicial oversight could help improve good governance in public finance management in Cameroon.
Our in-depth segment of the news today centers on the elimination of violence against women. The Minister of Women's Empowerment and the Family has called for an end of all forms of violence meted on women and girls and for the respect of their rights. Professor Marie-Theresa Benaundua was speaking in Yaoundé today while launching the 16 Days of Activism to Fight Violence Against Women and Girls. Joyce Cliff-Tata now highlights government's efforts in fighting the phenomenon.
On the launch of 2024's 16 Days of Activism Against Gender-Based Violence on Women and Girls, the Cameroon government shed light on her journey so far in combating the phenomenon.
Oliver Achayang, I'm a chief of service in charge for the promotion of social rights of a woman. We have the National Gender Policy, which is one of the basic documents to fight gender-based violence. We have national strategy to fight gender-based violence. The ministry has worked on the amendment of the penal code and a particular article that improves on the fight against gender-based violence.
He adds that victims of gender-based violence could call the number 10016 for assistance for children and women and 1523 for the Cameroon Human Rights Commission. The official launching ceremony in Yaoundé also made room for the United Nations to reiterate her commitment to holding the hands of all actors involved in this fight to curb the global phenomenon. Minister Marie-Thérèse Abenaundua of Women's Empowerment and the Family sees the opportunity to appreciate her partners for their continuous support in this fight while urging victims of such inhumane treatment to speak out and have their perpetrators brought to book. Because gender-based violence is indeed a real obstacle to human development.
The 25th edition of the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women is an opportunity for us to take a look at the situation in the East region. As Tala LT of CRTV East reports, this sad phenomenon is still a reality in this part of the country, but the government and its partners in development have not folded their arms and watched it get out of control.
Violence against women remains an ugly picture which inhabitants of the East region are forced to watch in some parts of their neighborhoods every day. Physical violence like battery, assault, genital mutilations, insult, disrespect, infidelity, and rape are some common forms of violence against women here. What I see often is mostly violence against young mothers by their partners who are sometimes drunk or frustrated about their lives. Situations like this give sleepless nights to the authorities and government's partners in development who have taken it as a challenge to wipe out this barbaric practice, which has even claimed the lives of some victims in the East region. Antoine Kouya is a regional delegate of Women's Empowerment and the Family. We carry out sensitization campaigns in our local communities and through different media organs. As a response to this situation, we take care of victims by providing psychosocial assistance and foot their medical bills. We have partners who support us. Thanks to this synergy, we are able to say that the fight against violence on women is on the right track. In a bid to limit the occurrence of violence against women in the East region, the population is advised to always denounce perpetrators of such acts to competent authorities so that concrete measures can be taken. Tala LT, CRTV News, Betwa.
In the north region of Cameroon, like other parts of the country, violence against women is still largely suffered by most women folk, partly because of some intrinsic traditional values that relegates women to a secondary role. In the face of these challenges, women are exposed, and the north regional delegate of Women's Empowerment and the Family, Abdoulaye Amoa Awoda, says they are working in close collaboration with the international community and the civil society to eliminate violence against women in the region, as you tell us, Julius Niba.
Violence against women is a universal reality which cuts across cultural, religious, economic, and geographical boundaries. In this regard, various traditional beliefs have social constructs for controlling the sexuality and status of women, and as a result, most women are subjected to violence across their life cycle, with some pundits blaming it on forced and early child marriages, some archaic traditional beliefs, and the flippant nature of most women around the globe. In spite of this sad reality, the regional delegate of Women Empowerment and the Family, Abdoulaye Amoa Awuda, says they are leaving no stone unturned in their bid to seek resilient solutions.
We have services which work tirelessly to fight against this ordeal through mediation, listening to families in conflict and victims. We are also integrating men as we integrate traditional and religious authorities in the transformative approach. Equally, we are setting up the regional committee for the fight against gender-based violence, amongst which we have experienced lawyers who try their best to bring the traditional and religious leaders up to speed in the resolution of family and marital conflicts.
The delegate adds that they are working in close collaboration with international organizations, civil society, and local administrators to safeguard the rights of women and hopefully stamp out the phenomenon from the region that still has its roots firmly in some traditional practices that are stifling the emancipation of the women folk. Julius Neba, CRTV News, Garowa.
Tackling violence against women in traditional localities like the far north of Cameroon demands a unified effort from all sectors of society, including local communities, government, and non-governmental organizations. It requires a profound shift in deeply rooted cultural attitudes, heightened awareness, and comprehensive education to break the cycle of abuse. Our far north regional correspondent, Faith Nguang, tells us that it is only through a collective commitment to change and real progress can be made.
Violence against women remains a critical issue in the far north region, often fueled by harmful cultural practices and lack of education. However, a growing number of residents are calling for change.
Campaigns can be done through participative theater arts, where a group of persons go to a community and get people there act on themes related to gender-based violence.
Local activists argue that tackling this issue requires empowering women, engaging traditional leaders, and promoting education to challenge these norms. Fadimatu Muhammadu Bashiru is a female activist.
Set up an approach that takes into account the cultural and social specificities of this community. Carry out awareness campaign and educational activities to make communities understand the harmful effect of gender-based violence and promote values of equality and respect.
By fostering dialogue, supporting victims, and prioritizing education, communities in the Far North region can pave the way for a society free from violence against women. Marwa, Faith Nguang, CRTV.
Our guest on the 7 p.m. news today is a gender activist and CEO of Lib Girl Africa, Petula Kecha Eziga. In an exchange on phone with Joyce Cliff Tutter, she begins by presenting the root cause of gender-based violence in our society today. Let's hear her.
It's a systemic problem tied down to inequalities that we must all challenge. And gender-based violence stems from deeply and rooted in inequalities of power, gender roles, and cultural norms. And we are within the patriarchal system, which privileges men over women, even in contexts where the situation is flipped and men are facing the violence because the environment is not open enough and it's not stigma-free, they cannot speak up. So harmful traditions, economic dependency, and the lack of legal frameworks is going to further perpetuate these issues.
Petula, could you share with us a personal experience or story that inspired you to become an activist in this field?
For me, activism really started with witnessing how violence can scatter dreams, be it from my neighbors or be it from married couples always fighting, or growing up as a child where I was abused and the sexual harassment that kept increasing as I grew older. So I knew that within this context, it was not going to change anytime soon in my generation. So that moment sparked me, and I couldn't remain silent. I wanted to fight for a world where girls and women are valued, they are respected, and they can reach their full potential.
Could you tell us, what role does education play in preventing gender-based violence? How can we empower survivors? And how do you collaborate with other organizations or individuals to amplify your impact?
Education is one of the greatest tools that we have right now to prevent and even respond to gender-based violence. We equally empower them to have the voice to speak up when they have been abused. So at the same time, empowering survivors is critical. This means giving them access to counseling, economic opportunities, and especially safe spaces where they can rebuild their lives, because reintegration is also a whole different conversation. At Lib Girl Africa, we partner with organizations, government, and other grassroots organizations to build strong and united front. And together we can advocate for better policies and prevention that we want to see within the community.
Thank you so much, Petula Kedza Eziga, gender activist, for speaking to the CRTV.
You are listening to the 7 p.m. news. Away from our in-depth segments, a 10-day operation to check the services offered by hotels and relaxation facilities in Yaoundé kicked off today with an inspection visit to a 4-star hotel that has just gone operational. This is in view of the classification and ranking of tourism and leisure businesses by the Ministry of Tourism and Leisure to valorize and promote Cameroon's tourist destination. Vanessa Woodnang Sinamo reports.
An exchange between officials of a new hotel in Yaoundé and inspectors of the Ministry of Tourism and Leisure while flipping through the administrative documents of the said facility, including insurance and tax declarations. The control brigade led by the Director of Tourist Enterprises, Taiben Gabba, also sought to know if files of employees are complete, bearing each an employment contract, medical aptitude, and affiliation to an insurance company as guarantee for workers' welfare. The surface area, security, and waste management systems of the hotel were also of interest to the inspectors, who equally carried out the guided tour in the said facility to check if the comfort and various services offered are up to standards. This is in view of the valorization and promotion of Cameroon's tourist destinations to boost the country's tourism sector, going by officials of the Ministry of Tourism
and leisure, the 10-day experimental phase of the classification and ranking operation of tourism and leisure businesses in Yaoundé will, in 2025, extend to other regions of the country.
In the meantime, eco guards from the national parks in the southwest region are training in Garoua on innovative techniques for protecting the environment, launching the 2 weeks training at the Garoua Wildlife School. The southwest regional delegate of forestry and wildlife, Christian Mangabel Epierre, urged the participants to take the training seriously. The Douala Military Hospital today opens its doors for a 1 week free consultation in specialties like cardiology, rheumatology, gynecology, and dermatology. The campaign, which is in its fourth edition, will equally provide free surgery for cataracts. The exercise is unfolding under the watchful eyes of the commander of the 2nd Joint Military Health Region, Colonel Koki Godfrey. Cynthia Etim reports.
The Douala Military Hospital is once again staying true to one of its core values, which is strengthening the cordial and friendly relationship that exists between the military and civilians. The free health campaign and services target mainly the less privileged population of Douala and its environs. Colonel Koki Godfrey is commander of the 2nd Joint Military Health Region.
Our hierarchy gives us the possibility to go near those populations to try to give them the health at this end of the year. All the specialties are concerned for this campaign. We think that it is important for us to bring the health to those populations who are suffering insecurity.
The distribution of warm medicines and the increased numbers of hepatitis B screenings, which has moved from 500 to 1,500 this year, are some innovations at this fourth edition. Colonel Koki Godfrey once again.
It is free for the consultation and it is 50% free for all exams that they can receive until the end of December.
The turnout on day one has been impressive, with beneficiaries saluting services offered at all levels. Alan Kechaji and Bartolomeo Ngwane are beneficiaries.
I'm very happy for this consultation because this morning I'm not spend any money.
I really give praises to those who have organized this campaign for poor Cameroonians like us.
At least 3,000 persons are expected to benefit from the free health campaign to end on November 29. Cynthia Etim, CRTV News, Douala.
Njifon Fontenason is one of the many Cameroonian youths in China who has carved a niche for himself in the textile industry. He exports clothing to Cameroonian traders in Douala and Yaoundé with the intention of extending his business to Cameroon in the nearest future. Emos Enonyaketagbo, our special envoy to China, caught up with him and put together the following report.
His love for the textile industry and quest to see people clothed decently was the main motivation for Njifon Fenton, a son, to start selling clothing in China.
Clothing is something that you can have like thousands of clothes. Some business is like kind of, if you have like a bed, maybe you can use that bed maybe for 5 years, 6 years, but clothes, you change it anyhow.
Over the years, his clientele has grown, with traders in Douala and Yaoundé markets buying directly from him.
When they come here, they place the order. I give to the factory make it, and I keep it to the warehouse. Once I receive the customer money, I just send the customer goods to the cargo.
Asan has as ambition to cloth the entire Africa and beyond with decent outfits from his textile industry. Amos Enonyaket Agbo on special assignment in Guangzhou, China, for CLTV News.
On to culture. Officials of the Tikere community have expressed satisfaction at the organization of the second edition of the Tikere Young Festival. The four-day cultural event was organized in Gambin Tika, Mbaman Kim Division of the Center Region. Nook Protus tells us more.
It was 4 days of artistic and cultural showcasing in a joyful communion of the Tikari from all the four divisions where these peoples are settled across Cameroon. The Young Festival 2024 also offered an opportunity for Tikari people to discuss avenues of finding solutions to other more tangible development issues that face their communities. Here is the mayor of Ngambe Tika, Belinga Iyawa Matthew.
The festival gives us the opportunity to be with those people who have the decision. Culture can help us to solve problems of roads, schools, health.
More encouragement and assurances of government support came from the divisional officer, Ekole Blessed Epimba.
What next? Do we end up just dancing and feasting, or should we start developing? Because culture should be sold, and by so doing, we are exposing our community to the international world.
Mbale Mbatu Hamadu, Tikari elite, sums up the renewed optimism that was born of this young festival.
Because of what you have just seen, because of what all of we are now feeling, the Tikari people deserve the best future, and things are coming.
The next young festival will be in Magba, Nun Division, in 2026. Nook Protus, CRTV, Ngambe Tika.
As part of the Ngondo Festival in Douala, the Ngondo Caravan has completed a traditional visit to the different Sawa clans in Douala. The last stop was at the government high school, Bonaberry, in the Douala 4 subdivision, as you tell us, Bidmia Atang Tabara.
This phase assembled the villages of Jebale, Bojongo, Bonandale and Bonaberry, which constitute the Bele Bele clan, led by His Royal Majesty Paul Milord Mbappe Mbwanga, who doubles as the acting president of Ngondo. The event was charged with activities in the different categories of competition, like the Miss Ngondo, traditional wrestling, and the talk of war. His Royal Majesty Mbappe Mbwanga Milord, in his welcome address, resonated the need for solidarity among the Sawa sons and daughters, as well as with sister communities. To him, it will create room for a cemented living together. In the same light, the head of the Bele Bele clan expressed satisfaction and reiterated that much is yet to be accomplished for a successful Ngondo 2024. As the event continues, major highlights include the finals of the different activities. The Ngondo caravan will tour the major streets of Douala this Saturday morning, while the point of culmination will be the Mes de Lou at the banks of the River Vuri on Sunday, December 1. Bitnia Atang Tabara, CRTV News, Douala.
On to this feature story. The coffin manufacturing business is an important and thriving industry in Cameroon, especially in the capital city, Yaoundé, providing employment opportunities and essential funeral products. This report by Patience Wingo.
The coffin business in Yaoundé involves a variety of key players, from small local carpenters to large-scale funeral service providers. These businesses supply a wide range of coffins, varying in materials, sizes, and prices. In general, coffins are made from wood, though metal and composite materials are also becoming more common. Roland is a businessman in this sector.
My business place is near the Geneco Obstetric and Pediatric Hospital. It is a strategic position for me because there are some clients who prefer not to waste time to bury their dead loved ones. In cases of emergency, they come rushing in and I attend to them, especially Muslims. We offer them services like looking for people who can convey the caskets, provide them with car rental services, amongst others.
The price of a coffin can range from as low as 50,000 CFA francs for a simple standard wooden model to several million CFA francs for elaborately designed custom-made coffins. Roland, once more.
The prices vary depending on the quality of wood or material the clients want. The least expensive ones for 50,000 to 60,000 for especially Muslims who do not keep corpses. The very expensive ones range as high as 600,000 francs to even 2 million francs depending on the quality of wood used.
The coffin business in Yaoundé, though often a silent industry, is a reflection of the city's cultural richness, economic diversity, and social values, from the modest wooden coffins to the elaborate fantasy coffins. The sector serves both practical and emotional needs. As the capital continues to modernize, the coffin business will likely adapt to new trends while continuing to be a fundamental part of the city's rich funeral traditions.
Out of the country, 17 people are reported to be missing, including foreigners, and 28 rescued after a tourist boat sank in the Red Sea, as reported by Egyptian authorities. And on to sports, preparations have intensified in Bagofit for the second edition of the Chantal Biel National Mountain Bike Race. The delegation from the Central African Republic is already in Bagofit for the race that will begin on Thursday. And on to these press releases, the director of the National Advanced School of Public Works, Yaounde, informs all candidates that the entrance examination into the first year of the engineering circle in town planning for the 2024-2025 academic year will take place on the 29th of November 2024 from 7 a.m. Candidates should consult the approved list at the National Advanced School of Public Works, Yaounde campus from Wednesday, the 27th of November 2024. Candidates are informed that they should bring along their national identity card and the application deposit receipts, without which they would not be admitted into the hall. This other press release, the Minister of Finance, considering the significant interest observed in recent days regarding the filing of tax returns, hereby informs non-professional taxpayers subject to the annual personal income tax declaration that the deadline for submission has been extended to December 1, 2024. Additionally, the Minister of Finance commends the numerous taxpayers who have already voluntarily fulfilled this tax obligation. The Minister of Finance further emphasizes that non-compliance with this filing obligation will result in the enforcement of penalties as stipulated in the Manual of Tax Procedures. To further assist the concerned taxpayers in meeting their filing requirements, dedicated support teams have been deployed at their respective tax offices and within the Directorate General of Taxation, along with an online assistance mechanism, including a toll-free call center, 8200, an electronic assistance platform, help desk accessible via the homepage of the Directorate General of Taxation's website, www.support.harmony2.cm, a messaging service, plus 237-691-881-881, specifically for taxpayers residing abroad. The Minister of Finance counts on the compliance of all. And that's the 7 p.m. news presented by Elizabeth Mbumbone Akbar.